sit back and relax. You'll be royally entertained, for it's time for Hollywood's Open House. Hello, everyone. This is Jim Amici inviting you once again to 30 minutes of pleasure and entertainment at Hollywood's Open House. Swell entertainment by great entertainers. Listen to the music of Ray Block and his orchestra, songs by Danny O'Neill and the Norman Luboff Choir, and drama by our guests from Broadway and Hollywood, Frankie Thomas and Cameron Andrews, Edith Fellows, and the great dramatic star, John Carradine. Once again, this is your host, Jim Amici, inviting you to be our guest at Hollywood's Open House. At this session, we have music and drama in abundance. Our guests include the great dramatic star of stage and screen, John Carradine, two additional Hollywood personalities, the singing star, Edith Fellows, and Frankie Thomas. Danny O'Neill to sing for us as only Danny can, and for their first visit to Hollywood's Open House, the Norman Luboff Choir, together with Ray Block and his orchestra. The choir starts the proceedings with that great tune from the Irving Berlin score of Annie Get Your Gun, Doin' What Comes Naturally.
Folks are dumb where we come from. Ain't had any learning. Still we're happy as can be. Doing what comes naturally.
Folks like us could never fuss with tools and books and learning. Till we found from A to Z, doing what comes naturally.
And doing what comes naturally. You don't have to know how to read or write.
When you're out with a feller in the pale moonlight.
You don't have to come from a great big town. Not to go picking berries in an evening gown. That comes naturally.
That comes naturally.
My uncle out in Texas can't even write his name. He signs his checks with X's, but the cash comes just the same. Cousin Jack insured his jack, and now he plays with magic.
He'll collect, just wait and see.
Doing what comes naturally.
Doing what comes naturally.
Folks are
first of the best-selling novels, a novel of love, excitement, and villainy, a novel entitled Trilby by George Du Maurier, comes our Hollywood's open house drama. From the ranks of the foremost actors of stage and screen comes our star, Mr. John Carradine, to portray the famous character of Svengali. Also from the screen comes our two featured players, the singing star Edith Fellows and Frankie Thomas. And now, we present Trilby, starring John Carradine as Svengali, with Edith Fellows as Trilby, Frankie Thomas as Billy, Cameron Andrews as Gecko, and yours truly, Jim Amici, as Taffy. All of you have heard of La Svengali, the woman who appeared briefly as the greatest singer the world has ever known. You remember perhaps the sensation her sudden disappearance caused. Let me tell you how it happened. It started one evening, many, many years ago, as all of us sat in our studio in Paris, entranced by a set of magic fingers at work on the keys of a piano. Those fingers belonged to a tall, bony man whose appearance was well-featured, but sinister. His clothing was shabby. His thick, lusterless black hair hung to his shoulders. He had bold, brilliant black eyes in which burned an almost desperate light. And his name was Svengali.
Well done, Svengali.
What a gift. Thank you, gentlemen.
Svengali, why is it that you've never gone on the concert stage?
My true genius, young Billy, is not that of performer, but of teacher. Is that not true, Gecko?
It is true, Master. Very true.
Tell them all how I found you, a mere beggar on the streets. How I bid you take a violin in your hands and how you played like an angel.
That is true, gentlemen. Very true.
Nowhere in the world is there a teacher to match me. I care not for talent. I am the talent. I care not for genius. I am the genius. My pupils are mere raw material in the hands of a great master. I mold them to my will. Only in me is there...
Evening, Billy.
Miss O'Farrell, this is Svengali.
Hello.
And this is Gecko.
Hello, Gecko.
Hello, Miss O'Farrell.
Oh, Trilby is my name, Gecko. Everyone calls me that, just Trilby.
So, Miss Trilby, and what do you do here in this nest of artists and other low forms of life?
Oh, you're joking, Svengali. Artists are wonderful people, so kind and so gentle.
To you, of course, they would be.
Oh, no. They're like that to all us models.
So, you are an artist model. Yes. No artist could overlook those lovely eyes. Your hair, your mouth.
As Svengali talked with Trilby, I could see displeasure growing in the eyes of Billy. It was no secret amongst us how Billy felt toward the carefree, lovely Trilby.
I heard the piano as I came upstairs. Was that you playing so beautifully, Svengali?
It was I. And if it gave you pleasure... My little efforts are more than repaid.
My, how gallant you are.
I shall play something now, just for you. If you will sing as I play, what shall it be?
The Wren.
Fine. Now, we start. I do not believe it possible. Such a voice. It is magnificent. Trilby, open your mouth. Ha! Just as I thought. The roof of her mouth is like the dome of a cathedral. You will be my pupil, Trilby. Together, Trilby, you and I will create the musical miracle of the ages. What do you think of that, huh?
Trilby, you know he isn't serious. He's making fun of you.
No, Billy. If Svengali says I have a fine voice, I'm sure he will.
Trilby.
Yes?
Look at me.
Yes?
You and I are going to work together, are we not?
Yes.
You are perfectly willing to do this?
Oh, yes.
Then say good night to all these good gentlemen and come with me.
Trilby.
Say good night, Trilby.
Good night. Good night, everyone.
So. And now, with your kind permission, I too will say good night. Come, Gecko.
After that, Trilby came no more to our studio. For weeks, Billy's pride would not allow him to even mention her name. But one day, he set out to look for her. And not finding her at her own home, he went, as he told me later, to Sven Galley's shabby lodgings.
Ah, our little Billy. Come in, sir, come in.
Where's Trilby?
I beg your pardon?
Where is Trilby? What have you done with her? What power do you have over her?
Power? You talk like a child, my friend. Trilby is my pupil. She comes to me of her own free will.
I don't believe it.
No. You don't believe she no longer cares about you. That she cares only for her singing and for me. Me. What will convince you? Would you like to have her tell you so herself? Yes. Let her tell you herself. Trilby. Trilby.
She is here? Now?
But of course.
You called me, Maestro.
Yes. Your friend Billy has come to see you.
Oh, yes. Billy.
I think he wants you to leave me.
No.
He wants us to give up our work together.
No.
You don't want to do this?
No, no.
Then, Trilby, tell him so.
Go away, Billy. Go away. I'm learning to sing. Sven Galley is teaching me. You must go away and let me alone, Billy. You must go away. Go away!
Billy was brokenhearted to Trilby's attitude toward him. He couldn't understand the new, strange Trilby he'd seen at Sven Galley's studio. Poor Billy. If he'd only known the truth. If he had known that it was not Trilby who spoke so cruelly that day, but Sven Galley himself. Yes, if he had only known even then that Trilby was only the machine through which the mind of Sven Galley operated.
Oh, no, 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 no. Again. Try it again.
Oh, but I'm so tired, and it's late.
Trilby, look at me.
No.
Look at me, I say. Now, sing. No, no, no. Be flat. Be flat. Again. Again. Gecko.
I am here, Master.
You hear the way this stupid girl sings that note? Sing it for him, Trilby.
Perhaps it is too high for her voice, Master.
Too high, you fool. There is no note too high for her voice and none too low. She must be able to sing everything. Nice and golly. To make of this foolish girl the greatest singer the world has ever known. Now, Trilby, again. 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 Again.
In just a moment, we'll return to Hollywood's open house and to Sven Galley, starring John Carradine. And now, back to Hollywood's open house and John Carradine in Sven Galley, with Edith Fellows as Trilby and yours truly, Jim Amici, as Taffy. Soon afterwards, I decided to take Billy back to England. Through the months that turned into years, I tried to erase the memory of Trilby from his mind and heart. One night we attended a concert to be given by a new and sensational singer. As the conductor took his place, we stared in amazement. It was Sven Galley. Then the curtain rose, and we saw a woman standing on stage. She stood motionless. She seemed hardly to breathe. After a few moments of utter silence, Billy gripped my arm and whispered,
"Yes. It's Trilby."
Don't talk nonsense, boy. It can't be.
It is. It is. But What's wrong with her?
Ave Maria. But there did indeed seem to be something wrong. She sang, but completely motionless. She stared at Svengali, stared and sang. Billy and I sat in utter silence and watched and listened.
Rang out in London for La Svengali as it had all over the world. But it was her startling resemblance to Trilby that haunted Billy and me. We heard that she'd be rehearsing in the auditorium the next afternoon, and we both went there. As we entered the theater, we heard sounds of an angry quarrel. We could see La Svengali standing on the stage, motionless, unaware of what was going on around her as she had been the night before. But in the orchestra pit, all was bedlam. One of the members of the orchestra was having a quarrel with Svengali.
You can't do this to her any longer. I won't stand for it. Not another instant will I stand for it.
Look, it's Gecko.
Mind your own business, Gecko, you stupid fool. I know what I'm doing.
No, all these years you've tormented and tortured her. It's not for her sake. It's for your own. You want to be rich and famous. She didn't want to sing, you forced her. You made her miserable. You've ruined her life. I won't let you go on. I won't let you make her unhappy any longer.
And with these words, Gecko leaped at his master and buried a small knife in his neck. Now more than ever, Billy and I were determined to learn if the magnificent La Svengali was really our little Trilby. That night, instead of taking our places in the theater, we made our way backstage. Once again, we came upon a scene of pandemonium. Svengali was arguing with the theater manager.
But, Monsieur Svengali, you're too ill to conduct tonight.
I must conduct.
But your very life is in danger. The knife wound. You've lost a great deal of blood.
I must conduct.
He entered the conductor's box, leaning heavily on one of his musicians. La Svengali appeared on the stage. Billy and I stood in the wings. We could see the effort it cost Svengali to lift his arms to lead the orchestra. And we could see the singer's face clearly. It was Trilby.
She looked older. She looked tired, very tired, but it was she. Once again, she stood motionless as a statue. She stared intently at Svengali, and she sang. Something was wrong with her. Then we saw it was not Trilby, it was Svengali. He'd collapsed. He was lying at full length on the floor of the orchestra pit. Everyone rushed toward him. He was still conscious.
Trilby. Sing, Trilby. Sing, sing. Trust me, Trilby. Sing. The most beautiful voice in the world. Sing.
They carried him to his dressing room. Trilby knelt beside him.
Trilby. Trilby.
I'm here.
Trilby. You know why I did it. You know why?
Please, you must be quiet. You must have rest.
I did it to keep you with me. I did it to make you love me. No other reason. No other. You were such a silly little child, my Trilby. You with a beautiful voice. And no ear for pitch at all. I had to be that ear, Trilby. You were the instrument, but I, Svengali, was the mind. I made you sing. I made you great.
Please, quiet. You must be quiet.
I loved you, Trilby. Loved you so much. Forgive me. My Trilby, it was only to keep you near. Keep you near me.
He was gone. Svengali was dead. And then we knew that Trilby would never sing again. That it had been the hypnotic power of Svengali, that mad but wonderful man, that made of little Trilby the great artist we had heard. Not long afterwards, Trilby followed her master to his grave. And little Billy, poor little Billy, who had loved her so well, who had found her again only to lose her completely, he too is no here, longer here. So it falls that I, and I alone, remain to tell the true story of the great Svengali and the little artist model whom he made through the sheer power of his unbelievable will, the greatest singer the world has ever known.
Without you, night has fallen. dumb and grass is wet with twilight dew. My lonely heart is sinking with a song. Although I miss your tender kiss the whole day through, I miss you.
Very sincere thanks to John Carradine, Edith Fellows, Danny O'Neill, Frankie Thomas, Cameron Andrews, and the Norman Luboff Choir for their wonderful performances. Come back, all of you, real soon. And to you, our listeners, want to join us again next week at the same time at Hollywood's Open House. Our music was under the direction of Ray Block. Our script was by Lee Shane. The program was produced under the direction of Ray Green. Until next week, then, this is Jim Amici saying...